coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Worth doing badly.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK, the internet radio of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. I'm your host, Jamie Krieger. I am pastor of Resurrection Lutheran Church in Cambridge. At Resurrection, we have adult Bible study at 10 a.m. every Sunday while the children are in Sunday school. At 11 a.m., we gather for the Divine Service with Holy Communion. For more information about our congregation, go to resurrectionlutheran.org.uk. I'm also pastor of the Oxford Lutheran Mission. Pastor Tapani Simeoki and myself take turns to meet with the congregation there at 4:30 in the afternoon at St. Michael's and All Angels every second and fourth Sunday of the month. For more information about this, go to oxfordlutheran.co.uk. If you are nowhere near these congregations, go to lutheran.co.uk. This is the website of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, and it has information about all our congregations in England, Wales, and Scotland. I am also manager of Lutheran Radio UK. I hope you enjoy listening to our programs as much as we enjoy producing them for you. Find our entire schedule and the podcasts of all our programs at lutheranradio.co.uk. This week we will be looking at the lessons for the first Sunday in Lent, which is the season we're now in. And the readings are from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18, the Psalmist 25, the first 10 verses. The epistle lesson is from James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. And the gospel lesson is Mark 1, verses 9 through 15. And here's David Weber.
The church here just doesn't sit still. So we have so quickly moved from Christmas to Epiphany, and then here we are at the first Sunday of Lent, and the season 6 weeks long, in order to do what, is the question. I think we make a mistake by turning Lent into a season that focuses on suffering or personal self-denial, which, in my experience, is generally the way that Lent is interpreted. These passages present Lent as a season about love, God's beloved Son's loving sacrifice for our salvation. From start to finish, Lent is there for us to pay attention to God's love that is willing to be sacrificial. So as I said, we make a mistake of interpretation by turning it into a time to focus on world suffering or a time to focus on our own personal self-denial. Lent, rather, is 6 weeks that is meant to train our attention on the singular Christian definition of love. And that love is defined by Jesus as the beloved Son. So love is a term that has many usages. It has many definitions. The New Testament has a very clear intent to define love in a particular way and in the way of Jesus being the beloved Son. So here, Mark connects being God's beloved with the experience of temptation. No sooner is Jesus called God's beloved Son that he goes into the desert in order to be tempted. And that is a very strange understanding of love. We oftentimes think of love as this wonderful feeling that captures us and lifts us above life's problems. When in fact, because Jesus is God's beloved, he is sent into this experience of temptation. Being God's beloved is not incompatible with the temptation. It follows logically after this. Now, why is that? We would think that if someone was to call us their beloved and then subject us to trials, we would have doubts about the meaning of that love. Well, in this trial, Jesus deprives himself of food. But that is not a misfortune. That deprivation is an occasion to reveal Mark records, the deep hidden spiritual reservoir of life that goes with those who are in God's kingdom, that those who are in Christ, God's beloved. So the deprivation is real, but it's not the point. The deprivation only clears the space in order to experience the deeper love of God. The temptation was not about the deprivation. It was rather about experiencing the unseen fullness and God's spiritual ways of filling. So this fullness and filling we combine into one word of fulfillment. So Lent is not about deprivation first and foremost. It's about a deprivation that is there for us to experience the utter fulfillment of being God's beloved. And so Mark says, in the fullness of time, Jesus came. So the fullness of time reveals the fullness of life, and that fullness is coming nearer and nearer. And we shouldn't think that Jesus passively endured the temptation. He was not a victim. Rather, the temptation was an occasion where the beloved Son would express his passionate love, that because he, his passionate love, that he is well pleased to endure the passion of the cross for our salvation. So in the next 6 weeks, the passages that we pay attention to will focus us less on our suffering and our deprivation and more on what it means to be the beloved children of God by focusing on Jesus as the beloved Son. Now, in Psalm 25, we get a slightly different picture here of the focus is on God being our rescue. Now, what does temptation have to do with this confession that God is our rescue? The passage says, lead me in your truth and instruct me. So in other words, temptations are there in order to further us in the understanding of God's truth. And the truth that we're focused on here is that in Christ, we are God's beloved. So the temptations and trials that we face, we can be assured, even though it will feel otherwise, that this is an occasion, this is a moment in which we are being brought into more a more intimate understanding of God's truth through the instruction that takes place. So why do we need to be instructed about what it means to be God's beloved? Because as the passages make very clear, being God's beloved is demanding, and it is dangerous. Jesus is the beloved, and now in the whole course of the Gospel of Mark, we will see what that actually means in a very deliberate and a revealing way. What does it mean to actually call ourselves God's beloved? It means that we are participating with Jesus, who is the singular beloved Son. Yet, I have to quickly add that the danger and the demands of being the beloved are not what is decisive. What's decisive is that these temptations, when we endure them, they are there to reveal to us God's eternal mercies and kindness. See, we make a mistake by focusing on the danger and the demands rather than what those dangers and demands reveal to us about the mercies and kindness of God. The only way we can know the mercies and kindness of God is to endure a world that is merciless and unkind. And that God then shows us in this contrast that in being in the kingdom of God is what we truly desire and not to be satisfied with this kingdom of the world. So without temptation, we would never experience the depth of each of our own weaknesses and wickedness. And if we don't experience the depths of our weakness and wickedness, we don't enjoy the repentance that gives us life and hope, the life and hope of God's beloved. Now, when in the thick of temptation, obviously the trial seems overwhelming. But even that is there to reveal the depth of God's grace, that when we are weak, He is strong and He is our salvation. And now, Jamie, this brings us to Genesis 22, one of the most widely known and widely interpreted passages in the whole Bible. It is, to be fair, a strange story that God, who forbade human sacrifice, would now command human sacrifice. And in a very short, few words, so many questions are introduced. And so this text, to use it in a sermon would have to narrow it greatly. The passage, I think, which is most troubling and revealing is God telling Abraham, take your only beloved son, Isaac, and we know that that means that take him to make him into a burnt offering. So we first have to understand that there is a sharp edge of anguish that runs through this story. And the anguish is in the naming of Abraham as father and the naming of Isaac as the beloved son. See, this is going to change the whole definition of love. Does a loving father make a burnt offering of the beloved son? In what world is love expressed in this particular way? In our world, neither the word father or beloved have any sense of inflicting such a painful death. And yet, in this most prominent and problematic text, this is what we are struggling with. What does it mean to be the beloved son? And for us as Christians, we ask, what does it mean that Jesus was called the beloved son? When Jesus was called the beloved son, he and everyone who heard this would have automatically recalled the incident of Abraham's sacrifice, intended sacrifice of Isaac. They knew what it meant to be beloved, and it would make you shudder. Later, when Jesus would ask why God had forsaken him, it is very likely that he was recalling this passage of Isaac's situation. Now, I said from the beginning, Lent is about love. And in this case, we see the extreme difficulty of being God's beloved son. And jumping to the happy resolution misses the point of the passage. Abraham expected that, if need be, God would resurrect Isaac in order to keep his promises. But that hope of the resurrection did not make sacrificing his beloved son any less difficult. Jesus predicted that he would rise from the dead, and yet that prediction did not make it any less difficult for him as a beloved son to be forsaken by his loving father. It wasn't any less terrifying. The point of the story of Abraham and Isaac is to point us to the story's distant conclusion, when Jesus would once and for all time define the depths of the Heavenly Father's love for sinners by being the sacrificial beloved son. Isaac would not be that sacrifice. He was only there to point us to the sacrifice of Jesus. So as I said, Lent is about love. It is about God's singular sacrificing love that saves us from death. Finally, we end with James. We have dealt with very saturated texts here, and I don't know how the preacher is going to gather these all together in order to prepare the congregation to celebrate Lent. But in James, he makes it clear that the person who endures testing is not to be pitied. That person is blessed. So in other words, we need trials and tests so that we can each personally know that being God's beloved means having a love so strong that it overcomes death. Trials, in fact, are occasions in which we overcome death in its many manifestations along the path of life in order to increase our hope of overcoming the final death at the end of life. So in temptation, we are not passive victims. We are rather actively being loved by God in those moments of trials so that we may better know the love of God. And I think it takes a lifetime to believe that love really does overcome death. I think for most people, over a lifetime, they believe that death overcomes everything. The Christian does not submit to that deathly belief. And in order not to submit to the belief that death overcomes everything, we need these trials to reveal the truth about God's love. So James confidently asserts that our trials will not reveal God's dark and sinister side. These tests will reveal our dark and sinister selfishness that God wills to displace with his love. So James makes an interesting and common contrast between love and lust. While it can often be difficult to distinguish between love and lust, we know in the end that love is a sacrificial passion and lust is a selfish passion. And if we are God's beloved, then it is the love of the sacrificial passion that saves us and that we desire to direct towards others. Love is a passion for life. Lust is a secret passion for death. Now, which is a very interesting point that I can't develop, but I can just refer that there are several important studies about how this view of lust really does embrace death as the final reality. So, as we said, Lent is a season about love. It's a season to pay attention to the passion of Jesus, which is not a selfish passion. It is the sacrificial passion that defeats death and gives life.
Thank you once again, David. This is as much as we can do today. I pray this has been very useful to our listeners. Just reminding our listeners that the podcasts of this program, Worth Doing Badly, are available online on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. Try our app for mobile phones. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the one that is right for you to listen to us on the go. David, once again, thank you very much. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you.